Well, as we're coming into the Christmas season, we often switch on the Christmas music, maybe switch the music out of your car, or if you still have CDs, I don't know, the day of technology, or you listen to it on your phone or whatever. But you often listen to Christmas carols or Christmas music, and we like one of the music, one of the composers we like listening to is Handel's Messiah, right? That's a good music to listen to in the Christmas season. And there's one specific song that they have that's based on scripture, but it's pretty much all based on scripture. But it's from a passage in Isaiah that kept coming back to me. And I wanted to look at that this morning and what that message is for us. And it was the words of John the Baptist. At least, they were the words that he quoted. And that's when John was in the wilderness and he was preaching and baptizing people, and all sorts of people from every walk of life were flocking to him. And of course the religious leaders were kind of wondering, what, how is this happening? Like, what is he doing that people are coming to him? Who is this person? And so they went and asked John, what are you doing here? And of course he didn't give them the answer they were looking for. But he quoted scripture that should have told them everything they needed to know, right? And so he quoted from Isaiah 40, verse 3. And he said, "I'm the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And so, he's quoting this, but in reality, this is the desire of the Lord, and this is why God brought John to prepare the way for Jesus, right? To make a highway so that the people could come unto their Messiah. And so that happened through John's message, preaching repentance from sin and, being baptized and washed so that they could have hearts prepared to receive the message of the Messiah. But, in this, we see this message of coming near to our Creator to have fellowship. But also, there's a problem. There's obstacles, right? And he brings that out. He says, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then he goes on in verse 4. He says, "Every valley shall be exalted," meaning it'll be filled in. It's no longer be a deep chasm. "And then every mountain and hills is going to be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places be made plain or smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, this literally took place when the Son of God came in the flesh, and the glory of the Lord was revealed. But not everyone had eyes to see, and comparatively few had eyes to see at that moment. But why is that? Because they had some major obstacles. Paul said later on, the Jews had scales on their eyes that even when the scriptures were read, they couldn't see. And so there's obstacles to be overcome. And, even in our lives, even after coming to Christ, our goal is a highway unto him, unto his presence. And sometimes we still have obstacles in our lives. Maybe there's a big mountain, speaking of a stronghold that has to be overcome and that needs to be brought low. Or maybe there's a valley that has to be passed over. And so God wants to fill that void, that need in our lives. Or maybe it's a crooked road. There's a way that needs to be straightened in us, or there's a roughness, needs to smooth out the bumps and the potholes, right? All these are things that can make our journey difficult to God, obstacles that stand in our way. And, sometimes in life, we face obstacles, right? Situations, difficulties, and they seem insurmountable, like a big mountain or a deep valley or a rough road makes things slow going. But what the voice of the Lord is crying out and proclaiming, and his solution is quite remarkable, right? It's beyond the scope of human ability or even understanding to bring down a mountain, right? No one human being can bring down a mountain or fill in a valley, right? If you handed someone a shovel and said, fill in this valley, especially if you took them to the Grand Canyon, right? They could do that for the rest of their lives. And I don't even know if you could see the difference at the end, right? But God wants to enable us to do great things. Right? He has a desire to do these things. Why? Because he wants to remove those things that are going to keep us from running our race with him and crossing the finish line of having a highway built in our hearts to come unto his presence. And, you know, because also it's a destination, right? He's the destination, right? He's not just talking about making our life easier, although it is easier when he brings down the mountains and fills in the valleys, right? But it's about coming to that destination of knowing the one who's created us, who loves us, and who wants to commune with us, to have that communion relationship. And really, that's the whole purpose of life. That's the whole opportunity we have in this life to come to know Jesus and the Father because they want to know us. And so the promise is he'll make a way in our lives to come to know him if we will let him. And now I want to read another verse from Isaiah. I'm going to read this from the ESV. And this is Isaiah 35 and verse 8. And it talks about the highway, kind of gives a better term that helps us understand it. Isaiah 35, 8 says, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they're fools, they shall not go astray. And so God has a highway, and he gives it a title. It's the way of holiness, or maybe we could call it the highway of holiness. And it's like an expressway unto God and unto his kingdom. It's always nice to go on an expressway, right? I was just up in New York and talking to some people about, you know, back in the day, the main highway through the valley there was called 17C, and it actually went over, you know, right to the bottom of the hill at Waverly and went in front of O'Brien's restaurant, and that restaurant became famous because that was the highway. It's a two-lane road, but then they built an interstate, right? Now on the highway, you could probably go like 45 back in the day, but now you can go 65 on the highway and go really fast. I'm glad there's an interstate. There's a highway there now because you can now go to the other cities a lot faster than back in the day. You know, now, and also a friend of ours was telling a story of an experience of her relative. She had a relative who lived in Colombia in South America. And they came up to Miami and then visited Disney. And they were asking this, he was kind of a little boy. And like, what did you enjoy about your trip here? What stuck out to you? And you would think, oh, it's Mickey Mouse and Disney. But you know what he said? He said, you can go really fast on your highways. And I think what he was saying is, you don't have potholes. You know, you don't have to slow down and swerve around and different things, right? They had to go a little slower where he lived, at least where he lived in Colombia. I'm sure they have nice roads in Colombia, but that was what he said. He's like, you have good highways here, can go fast. You know, because there were times they had to go slow. And, you know, sometimes we can be in the slow lane from God's perspective because of a poor highway, because there's obstacles that are still there. Now, the world might have a different perspective. The world might say, oh, you're successful. You can have this, that, and the other in life. But Jesus said it this way, Mark 8 and verse 36, what does it profit a man if he gains even the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Right? If he doesn't have a highway unto the Lord in his heart. Right? That's the slow lane. Right? And in that context, you never get there. Right? You never arrive. But God's desire and his promise is to build a highway in our hearts to himself and to his kingdom, to his spiritual realm and everything good, right? We talked about the river earlier, right? Away into his river, away to his gifts, to his life, to his strength. That's what God wants to do. Now, there is a paradox about building a highway, because when you build, things slow down. Now, we are literally experiencing that now, right? Because they're building on 19, a new interstate, and they're doing construction, and sometimes it slows down. And, you know, Sarah and I we lived through the overpass being built just south of us. And that happened like, I don't know, 10 or 12 or 15 years ago. And, you know, I've got some news for you. It's actually going to get worse. There's going to be more construction. At some point, they're going to bring it down to two lanes, and they're going to bring in heavy equipment like pile drivers to put the piles in so they can support the overpass. And then they're going to, you know, bring in other bridging equipment, and it's going to be inconvenient, and things are going to slow down even more, you know, unfortunately. But at some point, it's going to be done, and it's going to be so nice. I remember living through that, and in our office, we were dealing with the headache of the traffic, and actually, we could hear the pile drivers in our office, dong, dong. I don't know what we did. We played music loud or something to drown it out. But after it was done, we drove on it the first time. We're like, wow, we can go so fast. You know, we're driving over that light that used to slow us down. If you had to stop at that light and all the traffic that had to stop, the whole highway stopped at that intersection. Now we're looking down at it as we drive over. You know, used to really block up traffic. But it's because the highway was built and it was lifted up. And they're just driving over what used to slow us down. Now, God is seeking to do the same thing in our lives. He wants to remove the obstacles in our lives that slow us down, right? That hinder us. You know, it could be a lack of understanding or even unbelief or our own will or stubbornness or, you know, whatever it can be. It could be, you know, a lack in some area, but he wants to orchestrate situations so that he can build. Now, sometimes he has to tear down first, and that's where we feel like, Lord, this is the opposite. You know, I wanted to see some action. I want to see improvement. But the Lord has his way that we have to submit to, right? As he's working, it's going to cause disruption at times in our lives. Sometimes it even just stops us in our tracks as he's trying to get at something and, you know, in our hearts and deal with things. But you know, it also opens our eyes to see our great need for the Lord. It causes us to cry out, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want this valley in my life filled in. Lord, I want this mountain brought down. Lord, there's a way that's not straight in me. I want it perfectly straight. You know, we think about in history how the Romans liked to build their roads and they liked to build them straight. You know, and they were an evil empire, but there's still something significant. They built straight roads. You know, and that's what the Lord wants to do in us, to build straight pathways for our feet to walk in. And, you know, smooth out the bumpy places. Sometimes it can be straight. We're righteous, but we're a little bumpy in areas. And the Lord wants to smooth those out. So he, you know, as I often say, he brings in Brother Sandpaper and Sister Scrub Brush to smooth us out. But he's making a highway in our hearts if we will submit to that work and yield to him. And, you know, we can see this in the lives of many saints. Even Father Abraham, he had obstacles he had to face, and he even had a kind of a windy road at times. He didn't always triumph the first time. He, you know, went down to Egypt, and because of the fear, he told them, right, that his wife was his sister, and so forth. And right, there were some things he had to overcome, and he produced an Ishmael. But he learned from his mistakes. He established a highway in his heart for God that brought a communion where the Lord said, can I do anything unless I share it with my friend Abraham? He had a highway in his heart. What a thing for God to say about Abraham. All right, things were worked out. And that's what gives us hope. And then that's really the greatest reason why we call him Father Abraham. He's a picture of someone who had issues, but he allowed a highway to be built, that he had that level of communion with the Lord. And that's when he got his promised son. Even then, God was still working. Or another example, this is one Pastor Jason's been touching on in his series on Peter, right? How Peter, right? He became the rock, the foundation stone upon which the church was founded, but he had some mountains to bring down in his life, right? We knew, you know, Jesus had to reprimand him on occasion, right? Because of rashness of words and so forth. Sometimes he spoke before he considered the consequences, but it was something that had to be dealt with, right? But God made a highway that instead of a mountain, he became the rock upon which others could be built, because God did a work in his life. Right? Now, what's good about those examples is they really bring out the obstacles are not necessarily what's around us. It is what is in us. Right? The mountains and the valleys that we're talking about are most often within us, in our hearts, right? As Peter humbled himself as a servant and took that place as feeding the little lambs and the sheep of God's flock, he was brought low, but God was able to use him and bring down that mountain to make him a servant to the sheep. And so the Lord wants to eradicate those things that will slow us down from coming to know him, from experiencing his love, his goodness towards us. And or maybe there's, you know, there it could be a mountain being brought low, or maybe there's a void, right? Maybe there's the big empty space that God wants to fill that within our hearts, within our souls, so we can walk on level ground, right? But it's his voice in the wilderness that's proclaiming his eternal purpose for our lives, that we have to have an ear to hear that voice. Make straight the highway of the Lord in our hearts. Walk in a straight way, in a smooth way. Now, I just want to look at two ways here that and relate it to the two scriptures we see of how we can come to him and have that highway built. All right? Because, you know, notice I said we allow, right? There's that key aspect. It comes down to how do we respond to him. Now, the first way we see this, or the first scripture I want to relate to this, is what Christ said about the fig tree. In Matthew 21 and verse 21, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to this tree, but you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That says a couple of things there, right? It acknowledges there's this mountain, but then he says, we're involved in that. We're involved in having faith and believing and even at times declaring, mountain, be removed, be brought down, because I want to go forward with God. Now, I don't know if in history anyone's ever performed this naturally in the sense of a miracle. Someone's spoken to a mountain, you're like, I need to get to the other side. Mountain, be gone and be cast into the sea. Maybe that'll happen in the last days. I don't know. But the true fulfillment of this verse is that God wants the spiritual obstacles that stand before us, and really it's the obstacles in our heart, to be removed and to be put into the sea, right? And, you know, the Lord says, if, you know, there's things that if we come and he cleanses us, he forgives us our sin, it's put into the sea and it, You know, they're not accessible anymore. You can't reach what's at the bottom of the ocean. And that's what God wants to do to the strongholds, to the mountains in our hearts. And it says, if you have faith, right? It's faith that says to that mountain, be removed. Now, we've studied in Hebrews, we've read that faith is a substance. Right? We can possess it in our hearts. When we possess that, it's the substance of victory. Right? It's powerful. It can remove mountains, bring healing, provision. There's basically no limit to what faith can do in our lives. Right? But faith comes when two things take place. Right? And we don't have the verse, but Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing a word of God. Right? And so if we're not opening ourselves to his word continually in some form or another, that's not conducive to having faith, is it? Because faith comes by hearing his word. And so, right, and really it can be as simple as that. It can be in reading the Bible, in prayer, in listening to sermons, and talking to others about the kingdom of God and his truths. All of those things are vehicles that allow entrance of faith into our hearts, into our lives. The planting of that little mustard seed that becomes the mightiest of trees in the garden. You know, some things in the Christian life are so foundational, and if we remove that, everything comes to a halt, or sometimes it comes crashing down. And this is one of those things, because his word is our cornerstone. And we must take time to hear him speaking and inquire of him. But the second aspect of how faith operates is we hear, but in one sense, hearing is not enough, because we have to believe what we hear. Right? We believe. Now, in Mark 5, in verse 38, Jesus was speaking to a nervous father, right, because this father had a sick daughter. As they were on their way, someone told them the daughter had died. But I love Jesus' response. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. Even facing death, Jesus says, you only have to believe. Right? And so faith has the power to raise from the dead, right? If we will believe. Right now, obviously God is speaking that, that Jesus at that moment was speaking, only believe. But that word of faith had power. And so when God speaks, the response is, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. And that has to become the foundation of our life. Right? As Jesus said in Mark 9, in verse 23, he said, if you can believe, and the inference is believe what he's speaking. Right? Believe the word that's coming from him. If you can believe, then everything becomes possible to those who believe. And that's the key in life. How do our mountains get brought down? How do the valleys in our lives, like how do the Grand Canyons in our lives get filled in? How do those crooked places, those ways that aren't aligned, how do they become aligned? And how do the rough places become smooth? Well, all things are possible to those who hear and those who believe. Now, one more example I wanted to look at with you in regards to building, right? So there's that thought of faith that was tied to saying to that mountain, be thou removed. But there's another scripture that talks about, right, the obstacles being removed. And this one's in the Old Testament. And it's from the prophet Zechariah. And this is where the Lord was speaking to Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah at the time of the restoration. He was also in the lineage of David. If the kingdom had continued, he would have been a king, or could have been a king there. But let's read in Zechariah 4 and verse 6. It says, he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But then the spirit is asking a question through the prophet and making a declaration. Verse 7, Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, grace, grace unto it. And so here's another situation where someone is facing a mountain, and in this case, it's Zerubbabel. Now, there's a whole backstory to this. This is the time of the restoration when, you know, the surrounding people, the nations, were opposing the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. And they were doing that faithfully, but then the work became opposed, right? They sent a letter to the king, to Ahasuerus, and the work was stopped. The king sent a letter back saying, hey, they shouldn't do this because, right, the people had sent an evil report. And they stopped. But through the prophet was saying, oh, who art thou, O great mountain? And really, he was speaking of those evil nations and also, right, of the Persians who were stopping them. O mountain, you will become a plain. All right, that was the word of the Lord. And so they had to believe and obey. And, you know, even the story goes is that they had to receive the word from the prophets, and there were several prophets speaking to them. And nothing had changed in the natural, but they received the word of the Lord, and they began to build. And God empowered them to build and to complete the temple. And what was the key? All right, now they received, they heard, they believed, but there was that one last component, because, you know, it said that mount shall become a plain, but then it closes with this phrase in verse 7, crying grace, grace unto it, right? And it's speaking the grace of God caused Zerubbabel to triumph over this mighty mountain of the Persian Empire. I mean, now the Persians, if they'd wanted to, they'd come down and just stop everything, stomp them down, right? Stop the work completely. But that the word of the Lord was not going to let them do that. But it was grace, grace. Now, grace is basically divine ability to do what we can't do on our own, right? Just like that picture of someone with a shovel trying to fill in the Grand Canyon. It's just silly. It's so impossible. But with God, when he speaks his word, when we believe it, and then when we are flowing in his grace, grace. And I think it's significant that it was said twice, right? Grace, grace. It kind of implies the double portion, a pressing in. Grace, grace. He empowers us to accomplish his work. Now, there is something specific about grace that we have to understand, and it's from James, because there's a certain heart condition. There's a certain place we have to be at in the Lord. And it's in James chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, God resists, or he won't work with. It's like he cannot work with the proud, right? But he gives grace to the humble. Or you could say to the surrendered one. And if there's one thing that will keep us in the slow lane, it's pride. It's the idea of wanting to be in control. Now, it might not outwardly manifest itself as, oh, I'm the greatest of everyone, you know, kind of like it did with Peter. If all else forsake you, I never will. But it can still manifest in more subtle ways, which I actually think is kind of more dangerous. Is, oh, I'm a servant of God, but I'm going to stay in control of my life. I'm not going to yield, or I don't want to do it this way. I want it done my way. But you know what that does is it keeps us in the slow lane, and it keeps the mountains from being brought down. It keeps the valleys empty there, and the crooked places crooked and the rough places rough. It's only as we come to that place, just like Peter did. Now, it happened in a big way because he said it out loud, right, in front of everyone about how he could follow the Lord. But he came to that place of humility where he fell upon the rock and was broken. But that's how he became transformed into the rock. That's how the mountain was brought down in his life and the valley was filled. And that is how he became the foundation stone upon which the church could be built. And he helped many others in the church build a highway of holiness unto the Lord. But that's his purpose. And that's the purpose of God for these days, for our lives, for our church, our fellowship, and for our nation. Although it's kind of hard to see how that's going to happen, but God's going to build a highway in our nation, and it's going to be called the Way of Holiness. That's God's way. But it starts in each of our lives. It starts in each of us. He wants to make a highway in our hearts that allows us to travel expressly unto him, unto his presence, unto communion. Now, it's going to take a little demolition, a little construction and some work in our lives, sometimes destruction, right? Demo and so forth, and of hearing his voice and obeying it, believing it, surrendering to it, but then crying out, grace, grace. Lord, it's not by my strength or power, but it's by your Spirit. And of course, one of the names of the Spirit is the Spirit of grace, that he wants to come and meet with us. And so this Christmas season, let's remember how the story of Christmas actually began with a voice in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Where the Lord says, let me remove the obstacles and let me build a highway. And he wants to come, or he wants us to come to him and to say yes when he calls, because he wants to draw us near so that we can know and experience his love and his goodness, and a highway of holiness can be made in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that you sent your Son and that you sent that voice, oh Lord, to prepare the way, Lord, to make a highway. And Lord, we just come to you today, Lord, we just present our hearts to you, our lives to you, our minds, our thoughts, Lord, our ambitions, our will. And Lord, we're just, Lord, even confessing, Lord, there's areas in us, Lord, in each of our lives, Lord, we need some construction. Lord, we need some change. Lord, we need things brought down. Or Lord, there's lacking in us. Lord, we need that filled, Lord, to have a smooth plane made. And Lord, just straighten us, align us to the cornerstone. Lord, smooth out the rough areas in us, Lord, that we can be, Lord, gracious as you're gracious, lovely as you're lovely. Oh, Lord, do that precious work in us, Lord, and we just thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that that's your call. You're calling us to build a highway of holiness in our lives and in your church. Lord, do that work in us, we pray. Oh, we just come to you and surrender to your work, and we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.